Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about our experiences and lives. What are they about? You notice I even said lives. Have we been what in our past life? You know, sometimes I say, oh my gosh, when it comes to the winter, all I want to do is sleep. I must have been a bear in my past lifetime. Some people will say, you know, I really am getting angry. I really have a lot of anger. I wonder where that's coming from. Some people will say, I want to feel just like little Daisy outside. I just want to breeze by in the wind and not let anything ruffle my feathers. Do we sometimes take pictures of nature, the animals' world around us, of beings and things to be able to create a story, or rather to share and explore our stories of our inner heart and our soul? What are they really telling us? I know I went for a time period where all I would see would be cicadas. Cicadas break through in their back and they have a transfiguration. Well, I saw them for a few months, then I started hearing the word transfiguration for months on end, every night. Then I turned around and said, okay, great. I'm through this phase. I now understand. I explored it in my thoughts, in my field, in the way I was speaking, how I was engaging with others, and I really started to become more aware of it as my life has evolved. So let's talk about today. What are the stories of our emotions? How can we share them with others? And if we feel that it might be a little bit too maybe old story, too tenuous, too hurting, too disempowering, whatever label you'd like to put on it, what if we took how our inner feelings and our past experiences and put them into different words and said, perhaps we could see how the lion would do it, or the puppy would do it, or maybe the bird on the fence would do it, or maybe the dragonfly, perhaps the cypress tree or the oak tree. Can we just step into another paradigm, another sense of a soul or an energy, and say, let's dance together so we could tell a story? Wouldn't that be so empowering? Today, my guest is Christina Barnes. Her book is Wildly Human, Quirky and Empowering Stories. Christina, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Jeanette. I'm really excited to be here to talk about this.
Oh, you're so welcome. Don't you think, Christina, that sometimes the human words were just like, I'm so done with those. I just want to be a dragonfly today, and let me tell you what's going on. Yes?
Yes. I think that we tend to drag ourselves down by repeating our stories, and sometimes it's better to tell the story with more color and with a happy ending. And
right.
That is what I tried to do in my book, which I've discovered I'm writing fables. That is my genre.
Right.
And I've always loved fables. So
I think it's truly about an expansiveness of a soul. You know, sometimes we say, oh, but that's just nature that's out there. I'm a human. I'm so much smarter. I'm more up the food chain, so to speak. And we know better than to do something like that. And I turn around and say, what if we are all one? We're all part of the same energy sources. You can look at nature, and their cycle of life sometimes is so short, or sometimes eons. And we look at ourselves and we say, what are we squawking about? We're just kind of in the middle, right?
Right, right. No, I think that's true, and I think that that the animals are disarming because as humans, we don't judge them. So if I could give an animal my emotions and tell that story to another person, they're going to relate to the emotions and not be judging the animal the way they might judge me.
Right.
Particularly if I'm hitting a soft spot on something that's going on in their life that needs addressing. So I think it is all incorporated and it's all easy for people to relate to an animal and then just dismiss them as being that animal and get right into the emotion.
Right. I think it's sometimes you want to see all of the other aspects of it too, even though you may not have felt it. Let's take, for example, you know, you have some of your stories in here, and I really read through your book today, and I wrote down some of the topics as I felt them. They were abuse, abandonment, choices, fear of life, control of circumstances, burden of others to change, love what shows up, dark teachings, not your circumstances, life unknown, live versus path, alone versus loneliness, what did you say, did you hear me, and dance of a romance or an illusion. Those were a few of the topics that, as I picked out of each of your story, was a golden thread, and these are the golden threads that I could hear or feel of a human experience, yes?
Yes, yes. You nailed it.
You know, I think that sometimes when we talk about topics of abuse, let's take that first, we say people don't want to hear about that. It's always, oh, yeah, I had that too. Or, oh, yeah, well, you know, what did you do about it? You know, you're a big man. You're a big puppy. Pull up your pants and your bootstraps and move on. Yet we forget that it imprints, and there's imprints all along life. We even see, you know, from childhood traumatic experiences, they all say as adults, well, get over it, work through it, drug it down, talk it out, go through therapy. When in essence, it is part of your soul imprint to be able to see it and talk about it, to be able to share going forward, to reframe it, create another story. But all of that is still the same petals on the flower, don't you think?
I do, and I think that that we all have burdens that we need to overcome throughout our lives, and abuse can be one, just repetitive patterns, things, programming you receive as a child, you spend the rest of your life trying to undo once you realize the pattern in your own life, and that you know, you might be the common denominator. So that is also a blessing when you realize that, because you realize you have the power to change it now since you've caused it. But we often don't have that toolbox at hand, and we have to learn how to create those tools.
And I also, too, look at it on another side, is that the souls also that were sent here, as myself, I know for a fact, is that I had every single abuse on the list in this lifetime. And I said, oh, okay. So I went through the experience. And then in reflection, I said, yes, I get it. And people would say, oh, you had so much suffering. I say, I did not have any suffering whatsoever. I went through the experiences. And now in reflection, I can say, I hope that the others that were in that same moment of time, I was there to be able to perhaps show them something, allow them to learn something, allow them to feel something else. And then as you go on, can they learn love and forgiveness? Can they learn judgment and justification? And can they learn how to let things go to have another fulfilled life? I think sometimes people hold on to so much of these labels that they get stuck, don't you think?
I do, and I developed a little phrase that really allowed me to let go of the discomfort of other people and their behaviors. And it is love the soul, not the role. And I can look at everybody now and thank them for the role they played in getting me to where I am now. And I can love and forgive them. I can say, wow, good role. You played a great role. You did a wonderful job. It was really successful, because I have asked, you know, why are there people that don't feel empathy or love and take advantage of those who do? And it's, I mean, who better to make you love yourself than someone who's abusing you?
Right.
Eventually, you wake up and you say, I'm better than that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you. So,
you know, I think a lot of the darkness, sometimes a lot of the challenges that we have, we say, oh, but they're so big, they're so hard. And really, it's because we are using our concepts, our words, and our impressions from others. I think sometimes we say, let's use the example of a disease. Immediately, when someone says cancer to you, you've got a whole paradigm, and man, you've got volumes of encyclopedias just rolling out in your head, and you're going to go through every single one of them and find the pages of the worst scenario so that you can hold on to it and attach to it. I think sometimes the idea is, can we ever, and I'm not sure we ever will, but we're getting better at it, when something occurs, not roll out an encyclopedia, maybe roll out a new notebook and a new ink pen, just like the first day of school, and see what you can learn from it. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. I think that there is a gift for us in everything that happens, and actually the more melodrama involved, the bigger the gift.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we don't learn that much when everything is going great. We tend to almost fall asleep. But when something happens, a trauma in our life, be it illness or a death or a divorce or something traumatic, I think that's where we grow the most. And I'm grateful for everything that's ever happened to me now. I wouldn't change any of it.
Because I think that, don't you think that the purpose of that was to get, it's almost like, as they say, I'm just doing it to get a rise out of you. Well, yeah, the rise out of you is exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for feeling, emotion, compassion, those deep, deep, deep things that are inside. I mean, sometimes you really have to excavate them. It takes a village, right?
Yes, it's true. It takes people to get you to drop your own mask and take a look at yourself and why you allow them to upset you, why you give that power to them, and why you don't hang on to it and just let it roll off. It happens at an early age, and I think, you know, society tells us, oh, this, you know, your parents love you or whatever, but maybe you don't have loving parents, and so you have that conflict to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a burden until you figure it out.
You know, I think that most of the time, a lot of these topics you share in your book as a golden thread, just as maybe dark teachings or needing to be not your circumstances, I think really they are there so that you can say, oh, okay, you know, love, I wanted this. And what is that all about? And you think it's in another, you think it's in another place. You think it's in another person. It's in another stuff or whatever it is. Then you start thinking it's in self. And then you realize love is none of that. It doesn't have a location. It doesn't have a purpose. It just exists. And you go, oh, what does that mean? And it's sort of like, well, let's dance with all the parts of it that you think you are, and it is. And when we get through all of those, then we'll step into the next part, and, ooh, you're in the abyss. And, boy, that's the best place to be, because then you can now actually dance and engage with the topic that you're looking at, yes?
Yes. I think that we are told we need to plan our lives or they're going to be a disaster. And lots of times going into the unknown, for most of the time, I feel that's the best place to be, because you're open to what can come to you, to the serendipity of life, to the serendipity of that love that is all around you. And you can feel that bliss of that love, and you can say, nobody's causing this except me. I'm letting it in. And I think that people confuse attraction and love. attraction is more like a magnet, attraction, repulsion. And right. love is everywhere, and it's always available. It never leaves you. And you find it within yourself first. And I think that once you get there, you see a more beautiful world. You see the contrast as needing to be there. And people may not be happy with what's out there a lot of the time, but I think that you can look at that and see that beauty comes from that. Beauty can come from disaster. Love and caring can come from disaster. I grew up in L.A., and when there were the giant earthquakes, it was actually my favorite time, and that sounds awful, but people tried to help each other. People
right.
wanted to make sure each other, that everybody had water and they had their basic needs met. And I thought it was beautiful, and it was the most moving time for me growing up in L.A. is when there was some kind of disaster that people needed to pull together, and that humanity, that raw humanity of caring was nice.
You know, it was interesting because when we had Hurricane Katrina here in New Orleans, I had stayed for it, and then we eventually had to get out because we were just flooded and we just couldn't live like that. But when we went to Texas, when we started to feel or had emotions or despair or saw something on TV or that we didn't even know was going on, just, you know, at the same time, people started to move away from us. I mean, if we were in a restaurant, they would literally go into the other room or have us sit somewhere else. It was really weird, you know. But when we came back to New Orleans, you know, because we had to start working on our stuff, everybody was helping everybody, and this is like a different world, you know. And I've always known that, you know, is that you can see the contrasts of the world, of those that are afraid and they shun because they don't know or don't want to engage, and those who are fully engaged because they know that this just is what it is, and this is what you do, and this is how the world is supposed to be. And it's just, it's so much out there if you're able to see it. And I think, again, your stories in your book, Wildly Human, shares that as you write about the animal stories, a story of how the animal might do it, how the animal might run away, it's had enough, or what its life might have been. And then all of a sudden it runs away from its master and it goes to someone else and has a totally different life. And we think about that. Is that how are we feeling inside? And we say, but a human person, a man or a woman, we can't do that. We can't explore things like that. And the answer is, first you explore it through words and a story and a vision part, and then you will actually feel like you as a human can start to do things like that. Don't you think?
I absolutely do. And I think the point I was making with the animals running away from their situation or realizing they had gotten as much as the situation had to offer,
mm-hmm.
The point was that they may not have had a plan. They just knew they needed to leave. And that is where they enter the unknown. But with the attitude that they care enough about themselves to make their life better. And when you put that energy out into the universe that I'm going to care about me now, just as Joseph Campbell had said, the universe takes 10 steps towards you. And things come into your life, things work out. But you need to be open and surrendering to the unknown, to that void where everything exists. Because you're having that thought that it already exists, and you draw it to you, and that's what these animals do. They leave a bad situation, and they draw something better into their life, and I want people to feel that, to know that possibility exists for them, too.
And also, too, I think people get the idea that once they, quote, do this, that their life is going to be wonderful, and then along comes something else. I almost look at it as, you know, the petals on the flower. You know, you come to the end and then you get to the middle. And then when you get to the middle, there's another petal on the other side. And it's another experience. If your soul is wishing to have multiple experiences this lifetime, your life will be up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, it may be up and down, but also, too, it's available to you if you wish it. And sometimes people say, but I want to keep the high road. I want to keep this going. I need to be up above it all. Well, then maybe that was not for you to experience in this lifetime. Maybe you've already done all of that and you're just ready to live. Or maybe you're just choosing not to do that this time around and you'll do it next time around. So I think there's a million different ways to live our lives. The difference is just living it how you wish is the choice, yes?
I agree, and it's our free will. You know what I read a line the other day in something I was reading that universal love or unconditional love is our free will. And I had never put those two concepts together before, and I think that is really, I could go out and do whatever I want. But the universe is still going to love me, whether what I did made a lot of people upset or not.
Right.
And that is our universal love. And so I think that when we set on that path, that we have that free will, that we always have that choice to do what our soul wants us to do, then there's not going to be a battle within us if we are following our heart.
But also, too, the choice might be, I'm going to get this disease. I'm going to wreck my car. I'm going to I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to have a major fight with everybody, and they can all go to, you know, wherever. It might be that choice. I think the idea is that a lot of times so many spiritual speaking and talking skips that part. And they say, you know, oh, it's all this, it's all light. When you turn around, you say, you know, a lion in the woods, sometimes it really gets brutally hurt. Sometimes it gets very skinny because it has to starve. Sometimes it has to go to another village and leave all of their children and family behind. You know, we look at it in an animal kingdom or a nature kingdom, yet we say, oh, no, that's not the way we're going to do it. We're bigger, better, and smarter. And we go, oops, here it comes, you know. It's almost like you voice the bubble and boop, there you are, you're in it.
Well, it's where you put your focus is where your energy goes. And if you focus on something awful, that's where your energy goes. And you still have that free will to focus as you want, even if you don't realize what you're doing. We have the free will to not be aware of what we're doing. And it's true. And I think that that some people need that experience. Sometimes you can't heal someone. Sometimes they're just not, they're not supposed to heal. That's not what they were supposed to get out of what's going on with them. And
same as, you know, the anti-aging paradigms these days. You know, everybody thinks they have to have a perfect body to get to the last day. I'm going, why? Why?
That's
man,
so
that's
much
a
work.
Heavy burden. Go away.
Yeah.
Anti-aging, anything, you know, let it go.
I know, the people that want to live forever.
Yeah.
No, I don't really want to.
Well, they say they want to live forever, but then maybe that's exactly those that don't believe in eternal life. They just believe in this life. So.
Yeah, we already do live forever,
as
far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But we learn, we have different experiences, different lifetimes, different bodies, different everything.
And you also share in your book about loneliness and alone. And I think that's a very important topic, too, because we see, generally, we say animals run in packs. They're always together. Ducks, they're always, you know, going together. Birds, they fly in a V to go wherever they're going. And we see as humans, we say, but I'm alone. I'm, you know, having a tremendous amount of loneliness, and I don't really know what to do with that. And I think if we understood that if we are a part of the eternal, a part of the entire energy of everything, we wouldn't feel alone.
Exactly.
What's feeling alone is the human concept of the human physical body, yes?
Exactly. Our society is so couples obsessed. The dating sites and, you know, oh, you're alone and Oh, you'll meet someone soon. How often when someone's in a bad relationship does someone say, oh, you'll be alone soon. You just, you know, it's always this coupledom mindset. And there's nothing wrong with being in a relationship, but there's also nothing wrong with not being in one. And when you love yourself and you reach that bliss that you can conjure up any moment, it makes it harder, actually, to imagine something even better than that, because that love is so completing as it courses through you. It makes you feel whole, and you don't really look for anything else. There's so much more that we have to express as humans than what society gives us as our little roles in life. And I think that we're better than that. That's a portion, that's a choice, that's something we can do if we're so inclined. But it's not a bad thing to go a different way and focus on something else.
Well, you know, I think also, too, what I love about your book, Christina, Wildly Human, is that it allows freedom of expression. I think sometimes we say, this is how it should look, this is how it should play out, and this is what it's really all about, because we fear others reading, others knowing about it. It's almost like, can we live a life of wearing different costumes to see just exactly where they might take us in the world, yes?
Yes, I think that is true, that we all have this ability to say, what if?
Right.
And answer our heart's desire, our soul's quest for some kind of fulfillment. I think that people misunderstand the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm.
They think that it means not upsetting people around you, so choosing what most of them want to do. And it really isn't, because you will have that internal conflict. So the path of least resistance is to follow your own soul and let everyone else deal with it.
Right. You know, I think sometimes it depends where you live, the community you've created, and the area in which you are. You know, myself living in New Orleans all these decades, I can honestly say, you know, you can go outside and dance in any kind of costume at any time of day that you wish and choose, no matter where you want to go. And it's like, oh, okay, hi, how are you? No big deal. We don't notice it, because it's just freedom of expression. It's so simple and it's so common that we have accepted that people are all different, and we understand all different facets of the human, the body, the mind, and the spirit here. But yet you go to some other areas and they're like, make sure you're in your house by 10 o'clock. Don't put your garbage cans out before midnight. And make sure you have no Christmas lights up after January 1st kind of idea, you know?
Right, right.
So I think it's really, where do you wish to choose to engage, dance, and explore yourself? And if it isn't the right place, then you can move to another place, yes?
Yes, yes. I think that we all have limited beliefs on what we're capable of doing, and once we start crashing down those walls and seeing that the world doesn't come to an end, and that we're actually having fun and enjoying our lives and loving ourselves and loving what we're discovering about ourselves, that it's all worth it. And maybe you lose some friends who don't understand you and think you've gone off the rails, but
they can come visit here, because you could do it all the time.
Yeah. I know. In New Orleans, that is the normal.
Yeah. Well, because here, you know, I think that's probably been inbred in me, because I can understand that if I wanted to go wear an antebellum dress downtown right now, okay, you know, what time do you want me to pick you up when you're ready to come home? You know, it's like, whatever. And you fit into that mystique, and you engage in that concept, and you explore thoughts and everything. And that's really true feeling freedom of mind also. I think our mind, we get so stuck in it of the day-to-day dictionary. We believe that we are just can do certain pages and we can't deviate. And
right.
I think sometimes when we say, can we be free, and what is freedom really all about? Is it freedom of expression? Is it freedom of thought? Is it freedom of action in a society? And all of those things, you really, we're seeing a lot of people now that say they wanted to drop off the grid so that they can have that freedom of expression of living. But then they're getting kind of tired of that, and then they're on to the next thing, you know, which is great because then you understand, you learn something from it, you move to the next, you go on to the next.
Yeah, the freedom to explore what freedom is for you and what it is you do want. And sometimes you don't know what you want till you try it.
Right.
And to free yourself from that those chains of having to fit in and not rock the boat and all
right.
the other stuff that's so boring. To be able to do that, and all anybody has to do is just start doing it, just start thinking it, and free your mind.
You know, I think the idea that, yes, I really do want indoor toilets. No, I don't want to wear an antebellum dress in the middle of July when it's hotter than you know what. You know, and, yes, I really would love to sit down inside a home before 5 p.m. because I'm sick of the mosquitoes. So
yeah.
Those are some of the choices that you make on
right.
your exploration. And you say, oh, cool, those are funny, those are nice, those are easy. But what we're talking about is light of life. That's what comes at the end of your exploration, light of life. How do you progress from here with the lightness of the story, the lightness of your soul, the lightness of your heart? And as you release and explore, it's almost like I'm going to drop that cape because, man, it's hotter than blazes in the summer, which is already hot here. But,
yeah.
you know, as you release that, then you say, okay, now I'm on to the next one. What am I going to do now, right?
Yeah. And it's the freedom of not knowing what comes next.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's completely unexpected, and you realize it was exactly what you needed.
Yeah.
And so the freedom to leave yourself open to the unknown, to exploring what comes next, what you draw to you, into your life, the people, the places, the things, the events, the experiences, it makes for a richness of life that makes you feel free because you didn't plan it. And it's exciting.
Yeah, and I think also, too, you have some stories in your book, you know, with safety, security, and stability. Boy, that's a tough one. You know, when people are saying, this is what I need because I need to feel something or fill something inside of me. And that proverbial hole inside of your gut, you know, it comes up. You stick another masking tape on it and you go on to the next experience, you know. Or maybe
right.
you color the next petal on the flower and then you're on to the next one. So it's truly about being able to say, I recognize it, I can feel it and sense it with all of my senses. And then, okay, cool. All of a sudden one day you'll hear, period, it's gone. Or you'll get up in the morning and you'll be doing something differently. Or let's say it's pain or struggle. You get up in the morning and you won't even notice it. For 2 weeks later, you'll say, you know what? My knees haven't hurt for 2 weeks. What the heck?
Yeah.
Where did it go? It's been hurting me for 5 years. And all of a sudden I got up and it's gone. And,
exactly.
you know, and I think it's just being able to say, woof, the wind just opened up today. So, you know, I get up every morning and open the windows, at least two. And no matter how hot it is, I leave them open for like 5 minutes. And it's like just to clear the air, just
yeah.
to open the space, just
yeah.
to be able to bring in newness. And I think when you do that, it allows your senses somehow, you feel it in your body. You know, you'll feel the hot air coming in and you'll say, oh, I know, I feel, I'm starting to sweat. My head is hurting, you know, or, oh, that's too much heat. But you'll still feel it. So that feeling is what's alive in you. Don't you think your stories, again, in your book, Wildly Human, is truly about exploring all of those senses in your being to know that you are a human and you're alive?
Yes, it's that, and it's feeling that connection with everything. When I open the doors in Arizona, same as you,
right.
It gets hot.
Yeah.
I just want some fresh air, and that mm-hmm. heat, it's like having a blow dryer trained on you.
Right.
But it comes in, and when I first feel it, once I get out of an air-conditioned building, it feels like a big warm hug,
right.
And it feels good. And I think that connecting with that power, that force of nature, and knowing that your needs are already met. If you're thinking of them, they're already met out there. It's so often we get an unexpected solution, or like you said, you discover a pain you had is gone and you
mm-hmm.
hadn't thought about it, and for whatever reason you didn't need it anymore. So I think that we need our struggles, and when the solutions come, we're so ready for them we don't even notice them sometimes.
Right, absolutely. And I think it's how can we just dance with them? And if you're an animal, how can you leap with them? How can you shimmy with them or fly with them and be able to be free? I think that's truly a way to be able to experience your life in a different way. Well, Christina, in closing, I think that the idea that if you're stuck, if you're having struggles, the first thing to do is be able to write your story first, or be able to write your story through an animal. You know, we think of shamanism. They're all about power animals.
Absolutely.
You know, write the story and see how do things connect. Then start looking up the animal. Look up the nature. Look up whatever it is, a bug, a bird, a plant, and turn around and say, okay, that's cool. I'm going to check it out. You Google it. See what comes up. Your phone has more of a consciousness than you do. It'll take you wherever you got to go. You know what I mean? I think, you know, it just, in its mind, it already knows what you're looking for. So just go with it. Just follow the train. And I think sometimes that's our freedom, yes?
Absolutely. I think getting out of your own consciousness and seeing what the world around you from a different point of view is something that we can all do on a regular basis to keep our happiness factor going, keep our vibration high so that we draw more good into our lives than bad. And I think that's really key is loving yourself, learn to love yourself and your situation, and know that there's a gift in there for you. And as soon as you find that gift, your situation will change.
Yes, and it definitely is so much fun, you know, once you start to do it. And you'll say, oh, man, I want to know what those things feel like. And you'll say, but it comes along with a broken leg. It comes along with a wounded tail. It comes along with dehydration. You're going, cool, bring it on. Let's see what it feels like. I never had that before. You know what I mean? So.
Yes, it's embrace every experience as one of the delights of being human. You get the highs, you get the lows, you get the whole ball. And
that's right.
Play with it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Christine, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Well, I have a website that is under construction, but it's coming along, and I have a blog on there where I talk more in depth about some of the concepts that I've presented in my book, and it's called Christina Barnes Fables. And fables are basically where everything talks, everything has a conscience, and they really impressed me when I was growing up, and I guess that's why I've gone down that road with my writing and my artwork. So it's ChristinaBarnesFables.com, and that's about all that's out there on me right now. I don't do a lot of social media because these days I prefer eyeball to eyeball. It's such a lost art anymore. So,
well, Christina, I hope so that soon you'll be able to do maybe a book tour or be able to turn around and have some readings in some areas and locations, and you'll be able to share that maybe with your listeners or your readers on your website. And you never know. Then you'll be able to see all of your animals coming to see you in full form, yes?
I think that would be fantastic. So thank you, Dr. Jeanette. I've really, really enjoyed chatting with you and getting to know you. So it's been a pleasure.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.